special. Well, we're looking forward to hearing from Brother Bragg and enjoyed that. Pray for he and his wife. They'll be traveling back tonight, back to Illinois. And so make sure you go up afterwards and shake him. Thank him and shake his hand. Those are not good words to mix together. Amen. Thank you for being here, brother. Would you come preach for us?
Amen. Go up to Brother Bragg, shake him, and thank his hand. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. It's been good to be here today. It really has. It really has. I appreciate you all attention and attentiveness to the Word of God. I really do. It's such a blessing to preach to people who love the Word of God, know the Word of God. And thank you. Thank you, Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I appreciate you very much. And thank God for you. Thank God for your pastor. And praise the Lord. Keep praying for him. And so I want to thank Brother Joe Asbury. We met 30 years ago. He came to our church, St. Louis, and did a will for us. And my wife and I were just talking the other day. Said, I wonder if we ought to get that thing out, maybe change it. Our children were small then, and so and he approached me, and he said, you remember me? Yeah, I do. And he went back to his files and pulled out our file from 30 years ago. And so we're going to update our file and so forth. And it's amazing. The little things that God does. And I'm telling you, everybody says, well, we have a small world. I disagree. We have a great God. We have a big God. Amen. He knows exactly where we're at and what we're doing. And he's so interested in us. And I appreciate that, Brother Asbury. I really do. And then Isaac and Laura Walton. Did I get your names right? Okay. Had lunch with Drew and Bryce and Case. Did I get their names right? Amen. That was fun. That was a blessing. And appreciate that very much. Gift basket and the love offering. You all are just very, very kind to us. And I appreciate you all. Thank you. Years ago, we stopped here on a Christmas. And we picked up our brown Christmas bags, our children. And we remember that about this church. They remember that. And then I want to thank Bethel Baptist Church. Brother Doug Castle, a good friend of mine and of this church as well. And he put us up, and the accommodations there are just a blessing. I appreciate that. I was telling, somebody came to me after church this morning and said, are you Mike Bragg's dad? And I said, yes, I'm guilty as charged. You must be Jana's dad. Yes, I am. We have three children, David, the oldest, Michael, and Jana. And it used to be the boys would hear this, oh, you're Ed Bragg's kids, you're Ed Bragg's boys. And now I hear from other people, you must be Mike Bragg's dad. You must be Dave Bragg's dad. I guess that's not a bad thing, amen? And so I thank the Lord. They tell me often, Dad, thank you for raising us as you did. They say that often. A few years ago, it dawned on me, they didn't have to listen. And so I thank them for listening. Amen. Thank them for carrying on. I want to tell you, you have the real Pastor Bragg with you tonight. After about 2 months of being, I pastored there in St. Louis, Lafayette Bible Baptist Church for 33 and a half years, St. Louis County. And after about 3 months, or 3 years ago, we moved to Bourbonnais, and members of Faith Baptist Church there. And I took a secular job and travel on the weekends and preach. And an evangelist, I could go full time, I guess, but I really feel that the money that needs to be appropriated to missions that go in foreign field. So I have the opportunity to gain employment and still do God's work. And so that's what we're doing for now anyway. So I went back after about 2 or 3 months gone, and I went back for a doctor's appointment. David didn't tell anybody I was coming. Our son didn't, and I didn't say anything. And so walked in the back door of the church, and a little girl tugged on her dad's coat and said, Daddy, Daddy, Pastor Bragg is here. And he said, no, honey. He said, Pastor David Bragg is our pastor. She said, no, Daddy, the real Pastor Bragg is here. So I want you to know you have the real thing tonight. It's a real Pastor Bragg. Anyway, appreciate you all. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. By the way, I want to encourage you to write your college students. That's a great idea. We did that every year and would send them some kind of, we called it a care package. And one of our ladies in our church got it started. And boy, encourage them. This is a, can be a rough time, but just be a blessing to them. Praise the Lord. And I just wanted to add to the announcements. I told Brother Young, I said, does everybody zone out when announcements are giving? Because when I give announcements or somebody give announcements, invariably somebody come up and say, now when is that going to be? And what? Okay, all right. Luke chapter 18. Again, thank you all for listening so intently this morning. And tonight, a message that the Lord laid on my heart some years ago, actually it was last year, and I was practicing this message before I even knew it. But Luke chapter 18, and would you stand please? We'll read the first six verses and preach a message the Lord has laid on our heart. I don't think it'll be long, but I hope that it'll be a help and a blessing. Luke 18, verse number 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, neither nor regard man, yet because this woman troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And that's the text is found in verse number 5. Yet because this woman troubleth me. The title of the message is in the form of a question. Do you or will you trouble God? Will you trouble God? Father, I pray now that you bless the reading of your word tonight. Help me as I preach, I pray. Father, I ask. I need thy power and thy strength, thy clarity and wisdom. And Father, I pray that you would bless not only it be pleasing to you, but Lord, it be a help to thy people. We pray for Pastor Ross, pray that you give him strength and grace. Father, we pray, heal him, we ask. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. You may be seated. Luke chapter 18, verse number 1, Jesus gave a statement, and then he's going to teach a parable. And from that statement, he's going to give a parable. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray not to faint. And now he gives the parable. The parable is this. There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. There was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. Jesus is going to teach on prayer. Can I tell you, I don't think I can ever learn enough about prayer. I just don't think I can. I just need to learn more of it. In fact, when I resigned as pastor in fall of 2019, last message there was August 25th of 2019. Interesting that my son took over the very next Sunday. There was no break in the action at all. It just kept right on going. And it's still going. Praise the Lord. But I didn't know what the Lord would have me to do. And so I went back to college, to a place called Park Lane College in Champaign, Illinois, about an hour, a little over an hour south. And I went through drive school. 160 drive school. I received my CDL in Illinois. I don't know if it's here in Indiana. Illinois is a communistic state. I just wanted to let you know that. And so Illinois has a lot more requirements than other states. And one of the requirements, which is not a bad one, is that people that get CDLs have to go through some kind of training to get the CDL that drives a commercial semi. That started this year in 2019. They were talking about it and then voted it in. And so in 2020, if you're going to get a CDL license from the state of Illinois, you have to go through some kind of training. So I went through 5 weeks of drive school. Now, when I was a teenager, I wasn't supposed to be driving a semi, but as a teenager, I drove a semi for a summer or two when I grew up on a farm and drive a lot of equipment, but I just didn't have the CDL. Never did. We had plenty of bus drivers there and run our bus ministry, but the Lord gave me a direction to go back and get a CDL license. So I did. In the fall or December of 2019, I received my CDL license, and I had to go over the road for almost a whole year. I started with the U.S. Express, and I drove a semi to Dollar General stores. I went to and delivered to Dollar General. They don't sell alcohol, so I felt comfortable. There was a couple jobs I could have had. I said, look, guys, I preached on against alcohol for so many years. I'm not carrying that stuff. And so I went to drive through U.S. Express, Dollar General stores, and I thought that my ministry, the rest of my life, would be prayer ministry. I drove a 2019, believe it or not, a 2019, in January of 2020, I drove a 2019 International semi with a sleeper berth on it. And that place became my sanctuary. I mean, you would drive, you're supposed to work for 14 hours and then rest for 10 hours. Well, I haven't slept for 10 hours since I was a baby. I don't know what, you know, so I'd sleep for a few hours and then I'd get up. What am I going to do? And Dollar General stores are not in, if you've ever noticed, they're not in the metropolis areas. You know, you have Cornfield, 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 Casey store, Dollar General, Cornfield, Cornfield. That's how it goes. And so I drove, and my route was my area. I wasn't servicing all the stores, but my area was Northern Illinois, Wisconsin, Upper Peninsula, Michigan, Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, Iowa. That was my region. And so there was not a lot of big cities that I would go to. And I had all this time on my hands, and the Lord impressed me to start a prayer ministry. And I just started praying. I mean, not just, you know, a few minutes a day. We're talking about a couple hours, 2 or 3 hours, and sometimes 4 hours a day. And I'm telling you, I really learned a lot about prayer, got close to God, and I thought that's all the ministry would be. All of 2020, I didn't miss any work. I was an essential worker, and they worked us extra and allowed us to even work beyond our 14 hours sometimes. But I would take that time alone and pray. And I learned a lot about prayer during that time. My wife and I were going to Florida one day, and after I quit driving over the road, she did not like it. I didn't care to be gone that much. I would get home on a Saturday afternoon, and then I would leave on Monday morning. And so I felt like my semi was my home, and I would just visit my house. And my wife and I didn't care for that. I didn't get to see the grandkids very often. But that year, 2020, was a change for me. I found out that you could walk with God and get close to Him and know Him. And by the way, He could answer prayer for you as well. But I still don't know enough about prayer. I want to pray. Prayer is so powerful. Prayer is so powerful. I'll say that again. Prayer is so powerful. Why worry when you can pray? Trust Jesus. He'll be your stay. I can't remember the rest of the words. Don't be a doubting Thomas. Just rest upon His promise. Why worry, 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 worry when you can pray? Amen. Why worry? Pray. And so I started getting a hold of God. And I remember one time we were going to Florida. And it was after I had resigned from driving. My daughter called me and said, Dad, I know you want to get off the road. There's a place here. It's called Kankakee County Training Center for Disabled Adults. They're looking for a driver. Would you be interested in applying? I said, yes. And so I've been working there ever since for a little over 2 years now, almost 2 years. And I drive a bus from 7 to 9. And then I drive either a semi or a box truck or a forklift from about 9 to 1. And then from 2 to 4, I drive the clients home. So that's my job. That's what I do. And that's why we have to leave tonight. You get back, and I start it again 6:30 in the morning. And I enjoy it. I get a chance to witness. But I'm telling you, I miss. She said, do you miss driving over the road? I said, I don't miss being on the road, but I sure miss those hours of prayer. You know, we sing the song, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Not sweet minutes of prayer, sweet hour of prayer. I did a little study of praying. 79% of Americans pray at least one time every 3 months. Less than 30% of them pray to Jesus. Okay, the Muslims pray. They're praying to the wrong God.
Amen.
Catholics pray. They're praying to a dead Mary.
Right.
We have a living God.
Right.
And we can pray to him. E.M. Bounds, Edward McHenry Bounds, said this: men may spurn our appeals, reject our message, oppose our arguments, despise our persons, but they should be helpless against our prayers. Praying, getting a hold of God. John Bunyan said this: there is much we can do after we pray, but we should not do much until we pray. What a great statement. Prayer. And Jesus said men ought always to pray and not to faint. How do you not faint? You pray, you keep praying, and you keep praying, and you keep praying. Now let's look at the parable here. In verse number three, we see the widow woman. It says, "And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, the judge, saying, 'Avenge me of mine adversary.'" We have a widow who had an adversary. Now we all know that our flesh is our biggest adversary. I mean, our flesh is my biggest enemy. I mean, biggest problem. The world is troublesome to us. This world's not my home. Amen. They don't understand us. And then the devil, he's the most powerful of all of our enemies. Amen. The devil, he'd like to destroy all of us. I'll never forget as a teenager. Brother Carlos Dimmer said to us one time, we're headed off a bunch of teenagers. Ron Todd was driving, my brother-in-law, who is my brother-in-law now, down in Costa Rica. And Carlos looked at us and said, our teenage boys, he said, "Let me tell you something, boys. The devil would like to kill every one of you. He'd like to kill every one of you. He is no friend to us. He is our adversary, by the way." In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." We have an adversary. His name is Satan. His name is the devil. He'd like to destroy all of us. This woman had an adversary. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 12 and verse number 10, it says, "And I heard a voice, a loud voice, saying in heaven, now is salvation come, and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuseth them before God day and night." Can I tell you, he's relentless. He's going to keep accusing and keep hammering and keep coming at us. We have an adversary. That adversary is the devil. This particular adversary was an opponent in a lawsuit. How do you know that? Because she went to the judge and said, "Avenge me of mine adversary." Some kind of lawsuit of some kind. And she had to go to the judge. "Please avenge me of mine adversary." Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. But how many of you have ever been before a judge? Don't raise your hands. How many has ever been before a judge? Let me tell you something. It's very disconcerting to go before a judge. It can be. I've been before a judge three or four times. My wife was called in. In fact, I forgot to introduce my wife. If you were here this morning, it's my wife Debbie. Would you stand, please? She loves this part of the service. We've been married 45 years. She's going to help drive home. She took the nap this afternoon. I stayed awake so I can sleep on the way home, and she drives. Amen. But she just was called to jury duty, and she thought it was fascinating because she went to business college and was a legal secretary for how many years and never was able to get into a courtroom in a case. And so she was fascinated. She really kind of wanted to get in on it, but she was only, I think, three from being selected. But she really enjoyed the judge that came in and talked to her. And can I tell you, I don't enjoy that. I don't enjoy going before a judge. It just makes me a little nervous. They have a power to put you away or to set you free. I remember the first time I was in the presence of a judge, I was only in first grade. And I hadn't done anything wrong, really. My mom, she made Christmas cookies, and she would use English walnuts. And there was a lady by the name of Mary Noggle. I never forget the name. Mabel Noggle. And she had the best English walnuts. So my dad and my mom and my twin sister and I, they took us out of school, and we went over to the Noggle's house to get these English walnuts. Mabel Noggle's husband was a judge, and he was there. He was home that day. And so here we are. We're standing out in the orchard and outside, and the ladies are inside, and the judge, my dad, and myself standing there. And my dad says to the judge, "Judge, what do you think about a boy that skips school?" I thought, my dad's turning me in. I'm going to jail. I can't believe I'm only in first grade. Being in front of a judge is not easy. I remember the second time we were to go before a judge, I was in Bible college, and my wife and I are interpreters, deaf interpreters, and so I was working with the deaf people, and a couple of deaf men had witnessed an accident. And the man that was being sued called the college and said, hey, we'd like to have these men come and be a witness for us, and defense witness. And so they called me and said, would you go with them? Sure. So the three of us went with the gentleman to the court. We got to the outside of the court, and the plaintiff didn't show up, so they threw it out. We didn't have to go before the judge. And he was so happy, he took us to the Chinese restaurant. And that's the first time I ever had Chinese food. Amen. The other two times, I was a character witness for someone, and one of the men in our church, I gave him some advice, he didn't follow it, and I went to be a character witness for him. They ended up giving him 6 years. Sad situation. That's why I encourage you to listen to your pastor. He knows. God gives him special wisdom for you. And so, it's not easy to go before a judge. But can I tell you, this widow woman, she didn't let that bother her. She went to the judge and she said, avenge me of mine adversary, please. Listen to my case. Listen to my case. Avenge me of mine adversary. Now let's look at the judge for a moment. Verses 4 and 5. Well, verse number 2 and then 4 and 5. There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. This man was not... He was not a Bible believer. He did not like God. He didn't like man. Verse number 4, and he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man. This man was, he was one of the worst judges that you could ever go before. He didn't fear God. He didn't care about God. He didn't care about man. He was just one of those judges that you just didn't want to go to. And yet the widow woman would go to him and troubled him. Look at what it says in verse number five. Yet because this widow woman troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. He said, I'm telling you, this woman is driving me crazy. Now, this widow woman didn't just go to his office one time. She was there on Monday morning. She was there on Monday night. She was there before he came out of his chambers. And then she was there when he came out of the courtroom. She may have emailed him several times. She may have texted him. She was on to him. Look, you've got to avenge me, my adversary. You've got to avenge me, my adversary. I'm sure the judge said to his wife, this woman is driving me crazy. She's just all the time bothering me and bothering me and bothering me. She troubleth me. Now, let's look at what Jesus said about this. Verse 6, and the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. Well, what did he say? Verse number 5, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. The word trouble is a very interesting word. Young man, would you come here for a minute? Trouble. The word trouble means to be up close and personal. Have you ever had, you ever talked to somebody? You know, we each have personal space. You know what I'm talking about? Space. And when we talk, you know, it's a couple feet apart. Have you ever had somebody that when they talk to you, they get right into your personal space? It just bothers you. I just don't like that. Yes. Men or women, doesn't matter. Amen. Just stay, you know, it's okay. I can hear you from there. My hearing is not that good. But the word troubleth means this, up close and personal, in your face.
Amen.
That's what it means. And here's what Jesus said. Hear what the unjust judge said. Now, I didn't write it. I'm just preaching. But he's making this application. If you want to get your prayers answered, you better get up close and personal. Right in my face. Trouble me with your problems. Because see, I suggest God wants to answer our problems more than we want to give them to. Up close and personal. Thank you, maybe. See, by the way, get out of my face, okay? Hear what the unjust judge saith. Troubleth means to hold close. It means to bring near, not in a good way. It means to get under your skin. It means to just bombard, if you will, this person or whatever. And she, that's what she did. She got up close and personal. Judge, you gotta avenge me, my adversary. Judge, you gotta listen to me. Day and night, he said, good night. I don't fear God. I don't regard man. But this woman is driving me crazy. Now that's in the Greek. You have to read that in the Greek. She's driving me crazy. And because she troubleth me, I'm going to avenge her of her adversary. Now here's the message. Do you or are you willing to trouble God? I didn't say, are you a trouble to God? I said, are you willing to trouble God? God, by the way, is not even like this unjust judge. If you think about it. This unjust judge doesn't fear God, doesn't regard man. God who loves us more than we can imagine. God who likens himself to an unjust judge, but his character is not even close to the unjust judge. I mean, God who loves us enough that he died, he gave his son to die on the cross. Go to Ephesians chapter 1, if you will, please. Or excuse me, Ephesians chapter 2 for just a second. I want to show you this. Ephesians chapter 2. In verse number 1, it says, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom, this is Ephesians 2:3, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, and even as others. Verse 4, hallelujah for verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy and his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ. I'm telling you, God loves us. Jesus died for us. He's with us. He's for us. And yet he says, trouble me. Trouble me. The only connection you can make with the unjust judge and God is God wants to be troubled with our cares, just like the unjust judge was troubled with this woman. Our third child, we have two boys and a girl. Our third child, Jana, was born in October 4th, 1983. I started practicing this and didn't even know it. 1983, she was born premature and she aspirated fluid. She should have been put in an isolette, but the nurse that was on duty was from a different floor and didn't put her in the isolette. She contracted pneumonia and we just about lost her. My wife didn't hold her for a week. I remember. And I was a school principal, Brother Young, October. You know, in our school we had basketball, and then or we had soccer, then basketball, and we were getting ready to end soccer season, getting ready to kick off basketball season. October, you got a grade cards coming out pretty soon, the first quarter grade cards. We had two or three different new teachers that I was working with, and we had a school. The Lord really has a unique sense of humor. I was 23 years old when I started when I became a principal of a school. I had 286 students, 14 teachers, two of which had enough tenure to teach me in kindergarten, and I'm the new principal, fresh out of college. I had my hands full, and we were busy, along with the fact that we were building a building debt free, and the preacher just kept us busy, and that's fine. I loved working for him. But can I tell you, during that month, I don't remember much except sitting beside that isolette, sticking my hand in and just rubbing that little girl's hand, saying, Oh God, you got to do something. You got to work a miracle. You just got to work a miracle. I started troubling him. I mean, hours upon hours upon hours. praying, God, you've got to do something. God, you've got to do something. Lord, do you listen? God, you got to do something. And to the point where almost it seems sacrilegious almost to bother God that much. But can I tell you, that's what he said. He said, hear what the unjust judge said. He said, I will not avenge her because I'm a good guy. I'm avenging her because she continually is bothering me, troubling me. We need to get a hold of God. We need to get a hold of God and trouble him. Fast forward. October 2020, our daughter was expecting her third child. And the doctor said, well, this child's got a cleft palate. It's going to have some real serious problems. Wow. And her and Jake went through all the studies, what was going to happen and so forth. And well, I remember trying to comfort her. And I said, Jana, I said, look, you know, God doesn't give children like that to anybody. You're a special parent. I remember she bawling on the other end of the phone. She said, Dad, I don't feel real special right now. And I remember going back to God saying, oh, God, you got to do something. You got to do something. And I remember, I mean, it seems like our whole church, 2020 was a rough year for all of us. We know that. It seems like our whole church started begging God. Then they came back and said, oh, well, wait a minute. The cleft palate is not going to happen. It's not going to take place. But it's Down syndrome. So then they started going through that emotion. This is October. The child's due in January. We're begging God. We're begging God. You got to do something. You got to do something. You got to do something. Troubling God. Troubling God. Amazing thing that those two diagnoses were totally wrong. Little Kyle was born in January 18th of 2021. He'll be coming up on 2 years old next year. 2023. But because of those diagnoses, she was sent to the University of Chicago Hospital. And what he did have was he had a bad kidney. And because he was in the University of Chicago Hospital, they were able to do the operation right there when he's just a few days old. Can I tell you, God's always in control. Why worry when we can pray? Amen. But I remember, and it wasn't at that point when I wrote this message, but I remember going back to God and saying, God, I remember when she's a little, just born, I remember troubling you. God, please, you got to do something. Every time I prayed, I would pray that. I'd pray it several times a day. I just troubled him. Hey, I need help, God. I need help. You've got to answer me. You've got to answer me. February of 2021, as I said, Kyle Jacob was born January 18th, 2021, healthy except for the kidney. And now he's had several different procedures and treatments, and he's a healthy little boy, and he's as ornery as all get out. Amen. This February of 2021, we went down to Tuscola, Illinois, and started helping a church that was without a pastor, their Faith Baptist Church. The deacon's daughter-in-law named Katie was expecting her first child. And they told her almost exactly the same thing that they told our daughter. And I understand the medical field. They're going to tell you the worst and hope for the best. Because if they don't, they get in trouble. And I understand that. But can I tell you, sometimes they just scare the fire out of people. And can I tell you this? The doctor's word's not the final word. God's word is the final word. I just want to remind us that. And so I wanted to find something that I could help this young lady, Katie and Tyler Fraley was their last name. Their first child, and they told them it was Down syndrome, this and that, and so forth. And the Lord showed me in Luke chapter 18, men ought always to pray and not to faint, and we can trouble him with our problems. That's what he says to do. And so God gave me this message then, and I preached it, and sometime in June, I think, the little baby was born. And little Hannah Fraley was born, healthy and whole, and we were all happy. But I'm telling you, that church, that small church there at Tuscola, we troubled God for several months and several weeks. God, you've got to do something. You've got to do something. You've got to do something. We troubled Him up close and personal. And I think sometimes we're afraid to go to God. Can I tell you, the God that loves us so much says, will you trouble me? Will you trouble me? There's been times when I've had to apologize to God because He answered a prayer that I didn't even pray about. Amen. Or answered a need that I didn't even pray about. Can I tell you, when we have a need, He's a God that listens and wants us to trouble Him. I can make many applications to this. Parents praying for children, as we just gave. Families praying for loved ones to be saved. I remember my older brother. He was a long-haired drummer in a rock band, dope smoking. I got saved in 71, called to preach in 73, and I wanted him saved. And I remember I just begged God to save my brother. And I'm telling you, I got onto him so much. Well, I took him to church one time, long-haired, long beard. And we took him to church, and it just so happened the evangelist was preaching on rock music that day. Oh boy. He was sitting next to me on the aisle, on the end, and I'm sitting here, and I'm looking at the preacher. He looked over at me, and he says, "What did you bring me to?" And he'd mention something about rock music. He'd say, "He's not right." I mean, everybody could hear him. "He's wrong." And he'd fold his arms like this, and boy, the preacher did what he's supposed to do, just kept preaching. He walked out of that church service. He said to me, "Ed, don't you ever talk to me about the Lord again. Don't you ever talk to me about the Lord." I said, "Yes, I won't then." So I called the preacher and I said, "Preacher, would you go see my brother and talk to him about the Lord?" And the preacher started going there and going to his house. The preacher would go to the front door. My brother and sister-in-law would go to the back door. One day, the preacher and his wife went. The wife went to the back door. The preacher went to the front door and caught him in the middle. Long story short, my brother got saved. He got saved. I'm telling you, God will answer our prayers, but He does want us to trouble Him. There's times in our lives when we need to get up close and personal. Parents to grandparents and grandchildren, when the devil's after our children, we need to pray. Parents have troubled children, and we need to pray. Hey, a church whose pastor is going through some difficult times. It'd be good for Blessed Hope Baptist Church to get up close and personal with God on this matter, praying for Pastor Ross. I mean, every time you think about it, many times a day, and I know you already are doing it, but can I tell you, God says keep doing it. Keep doing it. Hear what the unjust judge says. "I won't avenge her because I'm such a great guy. I'm going to avenge her because she troubleth me." We have a great God who loves us. And He says, "Trouble me, trouble me, trouble me with your prayers." Trouble Him. Let's look at 18, verse 9. Luke 18 and verse 9. I'll give you the last point. We'll close. "And He spake this parable unto a certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others." The Lord was so good about dealing with people. These people are standing around hearing this message that He's preaching about the unjust judge, and some of them were righteous in themselves, self-righteous. Verse 10, "And He gave this parable. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank thee that I am not as other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterous, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess.'" Verse 13, "And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.'" Verse 14, "I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." Here's the last point to the message, and that's this. It doesn't take troubling God to get saved. It doesn't take troubling God. You don't have to beg God to get saved. All you have to do is admit that you're a sinner and He's the Savior and ask Him, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and He'll save you. It doesn't take troubling God to get saved. You can get saved like that. Just ask Him. Just ask Him. Are we going to trouble God? Do you need to ask God to save you? That's the message tonight. Will you trouble God? Do you have something that you want to trouble Him? Maybe something else. God dealt with your heart. Heads bowed, eyes closed. How many would say, Brother Bragg, if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. I know it. I am saved. I'm born again. I know it. Have no doubt about it. Would you slip your hand up big and high and say, I know it. I know it. I know it. I know it. God bless you. You can take it down. Not everybody could raise their hand. Some raised it very hesitantly. But you'd say, Brother Bragg, I'd like to know when I die I'm going to heaven. I'd like to know that. I know God loves me, but I'd sure like to be saved. I'd sure like that. I want that. I want to be saved. Would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up big and high and say, Brother Bragg, that's me. God bless you. A little hand back there. God bless you. God bless you. You can put it down. You talk to your mommy and daddy right there. God bless you. Anybody else? Anybody else? God bless you, little buddy. God bless you. Anybody else? Anybody else? And last question. You'd say, Brother Bragg, I'm saved and born again, and God dealt with me about this matter of troubling Him. Troubling Him. Never thought of it this way, but I'm going to start. I got needs, and I need to talk to Him. I'm going to make some changes in my prayer life. Not just lay me down to sleep. I'm going to get serious with God about prayer. Say, Brother Bragg, would you pray for me? I want to make that decision tonight. God bless you and you and you and you and you and you, you and you and you. Some already are doing it, I know. God bless you. Some are already doing it. God bless you. See that? God bless you. Amen. Will you trouble God?